noticed, all the kids are with us this morning, and we are having another one of our family worship services. If this is your first time to ever be here for our family worship service, let me just tell you what you're in for. A treat that is a little bit chaotic. And if your kids are making noise, if they're being a little bit loud, that's par for the course. Okay, that's just part of what happens. You do family worship. And let me explain to you why we do this. Every so often we have these family worship services because we think it's important for your kids to have age-specific worship experiences like we do normally every Sunday in the back, where they can learn the good news about Jesus in a way that's really contoured towards where they are in life. But we also think it's important to have all the families together every once in a while so that we realize that church isn't just something we do separate from each other, but it's something we do all together. So that's why we do these every so often, and I think you will enjoy what we're doing today. It's going to be a little different, but a little bit fun as well. And there's no better way to start off a family worship service than introducing a new family to our church. So this time, I'm going to invite Macy and Alexis to come on stage. Many of you have gotten to know Macy and Alexis. They've been with us for a couple months now, but they officially are joining the church this morning. They came to the New Adventure Den this last week, and we are glad they are becoming part of the church, and we are glad that you are very nervous to be on stage. If you don't know, Alexis is a basketball player. She plays Louisville High School, and we once played one-on-one, but since I don't brag, I'm not going to tell you who won.
He won.
But
she started off winning first, and then he had to, you know, make the comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cheated, but, you know, that's just old man strength right there. Anyway, we are glad that you guys are part of Venture. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Macy and Alexis, and we thank you for their heart, and we thank you for their desire to be part of this church family. And we see this as a blessing for our church, and we pray that we can be a blessing to them. And we pray that you would help them to find a niche and find them your love and your grace to the people here at Venture, and also let them be your hands and your feet to others at this church. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank y'all. Let's stand back up and continue worshiping. Well, as our country celebrates Thanksgiving, it is a great opportunity for those of us from the kingdom of heaven, those of us with a second citizenship, to remember some basic things that Thanksgiving can help remind us of. Now, Landon Staples is going to read us a passage from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 right now. So, Landon, go ahead. Oh, that's good. Thank you. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for the call that we have to welcome others, to welcome strangers, because we have been welcomed by you. And we thank you for that good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you were told about Thanksgiving this past week in school? Any of you learn anything about Thanksgiving? Yes, we've got a couple. Okay, so you know the story of Thanksgiving. Now, I was not in school this last week, so my details might be a little bit shabby. But if I'm correct, what happened was a few hundred years ago, a group of people got in an airplane and flew up here from Mexico. Is that right? No? Where'd they come from? Anyone remember? Yes. Yes. So they came from England in a boat. Okay, and so they came in to America from England in a boat. And as many wise people have done through the years, they were planning to go to New York, but they detoured and landed somewhere else. Where did they land? Yes, Terry, where'd it go? Let me give you some bump on that one. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you still remember. That's what so they show up and they get to a country and there are people who have been living here in America for hundreds or thousands, a long time. I don't know exactly how long. And what happened? They were trying to put a meal together, and the natives, people from the country, saw these foreigners setting up on their land, and they decided they were going to help them out and help them have this meal. And so they went to McDonald's and got them hamburgers, and went to Domino's and got them pizza. Is that right? No. What did they get them? What did they eat? Turkey. Exactly. Yes. So they had this great meal, and they celebrated together. And we as Americans celebrate this feast. We call Thanksgiving. We remember a time in which the people who were living already in this land welcomed strangers who happened to be us, and you had this great meal. Now, 3 weeks ago when we were putting this this service together long before a president used this verse in a political speech, therefore making it kind of a political statement to reference it, we thought this would be a great text to talk about so that we wouldn't either be Republican or Democrat, just talking from the Bible. So please do not hear this as a political statement. But the heart of Thanksgiving is this concept of welcoming strangers. As Landon read a passage from Hebrews, there's this idea that you should always entertain strangers just as people from this country welcome the pilgrims, because people are always more than just strangers. There are 36 passages in the Old Testament about the importance of welcoming strangers. There's one about loving your neighbors, but 36 about welcoming strangers, because people are always more than strangers. And there's lots of stories about this. And maybe we should tell some of these stories this morning. You know, I think that'd be great. I think we should tell the story. There's a guy named Abraham. Can someone help me act this story out? Anyone be willing to help me out? Yes, you want to? Can you be Abraham? We'll come back. Can I get a boy to be Abraham, maybe? Any boys who are willing to do this? Anyone? Anyone? Anthony, if not, it's going to be you. No? No one? Okay, Anthony, come on up here. So there's a man named... Your name starts with an A. His name is Abraham, and he had... this is what his hair... Your hair looks really good. I hate to mess it up. So there's a man named Abraham. And he was at his house, and lo and behold, three strangers show up to his house. And here they are. Three strangers, and they show up at his house. Let's scoot back. Come on up. Come on up. And so what happens? Abraham sees these guests at his house, and what does he do? Here, you come on over here, girls. He wants to be a good guest, and so he gives them something to drink. Yes, he has little water bottles, perfectly designed just for their size. He gives them water bottles. That's not your dad, that's Abraham. And then he gives them food. Luckily, he has granola bars, which are both healthy and hearty. And he gives them to these little strangers. And he's very nice to them. And that is really good news, because guess what? They're more than strangers. That's your point to take the robes off. Because they turned out to not just be strangers, but they were angels who can't take their robes off. Yes. And now they become angels, because as Hebrews says, be careful, because people sometimes are more than just strangers. They might be angels among you. All right, let's give them a round of applause. All right, you don't get to keep this. No. Your hair looks... All right. Hey! You girls go sit down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, now we got another story, and I need another volunteer. Okay, there once was a man named Boaz. Does anyone want to be Boaz? Anyone? Someone? We got a great... Okay, it's going to... You want to be Boaz, Landon? Come on. Okay. There was a man, and his name, can you say Boaz? Do you like the name Boaz? You know, Boaz had the same hair as Abraham. It was really popular in the Old Testament. It's itchy, yeah, that's part of it. Now, there's a man named Boaz, and he had a lot of land, and on his land, he had lots of food. It was wheat. You want to show him what kind of food you guys had? Yeah, it's whole wheat bread, right? With the raisin swirls in it. Very awesome. Now, what they did in those times when there were people who didn't have any food is they would leave food around their property so when they came to work, they could gather. It was called gleaning. And so Boaz was a nice man because sometimes strangers showed up at his house. And so Boaz had a really big heart, and he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And so he was always very generous when strangers showed up. Strangers showed up. And so one day, there was a stranger named Ruth who showed up. And Ruth didn't have any food, and so Boaz was very generous, and so he shared his food with Ruth. Look at that. Cinnamon swirl. Ruth, do you like? And he gave him not just one loaf of bread, he gave more. He gave like the whole bag to her. Lots. And Boaz was such a generous person, and that was great, because guess what? Ruth was more than just a stranger. Take the robe off. She turned out to be his bride. Good thing he was nice to her. And they lived happily ever after. Oh, good job. Good job. All right, good, 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 good. All right. Hey, thank you. You did a great job. Thank you so much. Here, I'll take that from you. Do you want it back? You want the bread? You want some? Take it with you. Why not? Okay. Now, here. Now, this is not the last story. There is another story. Now, I need two volunteers this time. Oh, you. Oh, Alexis, come on. Okay. Now, there was a. Okay. This is going to work perfectly. Now, there was a widow who had a house. And you want to wear the. You want to wear this? Okay. You be the widow. And so you be the widow and you stand right here. And you be the prophet Elijah. You look kind of like a prophet, don't you? Yeah? Now, the prophet, we don't need this. The prophet said, I really need some oil. And the widow said, all I have is this one little vase of oil. And the prophet said, please, would you share with me? And the widow said, yes. And so the widow poured all her oil in the cup. And she said, this is all I have, but I'll give it to the prophet. And the prophet said, you will be blessed for that. And so she gives it to the prophet, and guess what happens? The prophet said, you're never going to run out of oil. And so she kept pouring all the oil out, but guess what happened? Don't look. Have you never been a magician before? It never ended. It kept coming out more and more. And no matter how much she poured out, it kept on showing up. Stop looking. You are a terrible assistant. What do they teach you at Lewisville High School? And she kept pouring and pouring. And guess what? It just kept showing up more and more. And it never ran out. Because you want to know what? He was more than a stranger. Wow, yeah. All right, good. All right, go sit down. Thank you. Appreciate that. Magic. Woo, yeah. I've got a master's degree, so I can do tricks for kids. Awesome. Yes, now, the heart of the idea is that you always welcome the stranger because people are more than strangers. And it's not because they have angels' wings, and it's not because you will have never-ending supplies of water. Let me turn this so you don't see the magic on the end. But it's because at the heart of every person, God has placed the image of God. So I want you guys to look to your left and look to your right. And what did you see? You saw maybe your grandparents, maybe Mr. Terry, maybe you saw your dad, but you didn't just see that. You saw a little bit of the image of God. And if you want to know what God looks like, in the beginning, God created the world and he said, I have placed my image on men and women, and they are my image bearers. And if you want to know what God looks like, just look around you, because every person is more than just a stranger. And so one of the things that we do, kids, at church is we go around these little tables and we take a meal called communion. Some of your friends from school might call it the Lord's Supper. Some of them might call it the Eucharist. But it's all the same thing. It's a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice, and it helps us remember what Jesus did for us. Because we don't just hear about it, but when you take communion, you see it, and you smell it, and you taste it, and you feel it. And you celebrate the good news that God loves you, but you don't do it by yourself. You gather around these tables with a bunch of friends and family. Because everyone is more than just a stranger. And so what we're going to do in a second, you're going to go with your parents to these tables, and your parents can be with you and explain to you what's going on, and we're going to celebrate communion. But before we do that, we're going to have Tori's going to come join me on stage, and she's going to say a prayer before we go to these tables. So I'm going to invite Tori to come up right now. Let's do this, let's do that. And Tori is going to pray for communion. So let's bow our heads.
Please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around the table to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please bless us as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Amen. You can make your way. Amen. All right, let me introduce you to someone. We've got a picture of him on the screen. We're going to show it right now. This is a gentleman named Peter Schorsch. Does anyone know Peter Schorsch? Anyone? Is this anyone's aunt, uncle, relative, brother, sister, mother, father, grandpa? No. Okay, good. So let me tell you about Peter Shores from St. Petersburg, Florida. He shows up a few weeks ago at a local Starbucks, and he goes to the counter and orders a venti mocha frappuccino. And the bartista says to him, "The person in front of you has paid for your drink. Would you like to pay for the person behind you?" And he says, "No." And the bartista says, "You are customer number 458 in the chain of people who have all paid it forward. The previous 457 customers have all paid for the drink of the person behind them. Are you sure you don't want to pay it forward and buy someone a drink after you?" And Peter Shores says, "No." Is that a good choice or a bad choice? Bad choice. Exactly. Because when someone does something nice for you, it's nice to pay it forward. It's nice if someone does something good for you to in turn do it something for someone else. Now, at the heart of the Christian idea of welcoming others is the understanding of what God has done for you. Let me read you a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 10. It's one of the 36 times in the Old Testament it talks about welcoming the strangers. And this is what Deuteronomy 10 says. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and does and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." You have been there. You have been a stranger. You've not had clothes. You've not had food. So you should pay it forward. Now, we all know of the golden rule. We've heard people tell us about the golden rule. We've heard that we should embody the golden rule, which says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And that's a great rule. It's golden. But you should also at least do the silver rule, right? Do unto others as they've already done to you. I've just made up the term silver, so don't go, "I've never heard that," because I made it up. But silver is reflective. You can see yourself. It's like a mirror. And if someone does something nice for you, you do it nice for someone else. That's the silver. You can't do what you want others to do to you. Maybe that's too much, but at least do what's been done for you. The silver rule. Because you are strangers, you welcome strangers. Now, let me tell you a story. I was at a conference a few months ago, and I had gone through the line, and I was very hungry. They were giving out fish tacos at this conference, and they were giving everyone two fish tacos. I was hungry. Two was not going to cut it. And so I had to use my charm and my magic, and I asked the lady there if she would give me three fish tacos. And after a little bit of negotiation, she did. She gave me three fish tacos. And so I'm going through the line with my three fish tacos. I'm very excited to eat with my friend who's not nearly as nice or charming, and he only has two fish tacos. He's a preacher as well. And so me and my preacher with only two fish tacos, we sit down at the tables outside this conference, and a lady next to us walks by, and she trips, and she falls right in her face. And so I see this, and I get up, and I go over to her, and I see that she's bloodied her lip, and she's broken her front tooth. She's there by herself, and I talk to her, and I say, "Who are you here with?" And she says, "My husband, he's all the way over there." And so I run up there, and I get him, I bring him back, and I sit down, and I talk with her, and I say, "Lady, guess what? You broke your front tooth. I've broken my front teeth. Actually, next week, I'm driving to Florida to get a root canal on a tooth that I broke 20 years ago. I know what you're going through. It's going to be okay." And she was kind of stunned. She was shaken up. She was bleeding. She didn't have a front tooth anymore. And she was freaked out. And eventually, Dennis, who happened to be at the conference as well, shows up. And he talks to her. And I step away. And I sit down at my table. And I look at my plate. And what do I see? Two fish tacos! You want to know why? Because my preacher friend has never broken his front tooth. He said, "I've never broken my front tooth." So I'm not sympathetic of poor lady who has a broken front tooth and a bloody lip. And so I can steal your extra taco because it doesn't hit close to home. Because when you've done something, when you've been there, when you've broken your front tooth, and you see someone in that same situation, the only thing a decent person could do is get down on the level and say, "I want to help you, because you are more than a stranger. You are someone who's in the shoes that I have worn." And so when God says you welcome other people, We as Americans remember a time in which natives welcomed us to their land. So we in turn are called to do that for others. Now, like I said, this was written 3 weeks ago before a political speech was made using that as a keystone Bible verse that they're going to quote. So don't hear this as a Republican or Democrat thing. It is just a Bible thing. Now, in the Bible, this was couched. The way you treat others is in what God has done for you. And when you don't do that, it is not living out of gratitude for what God has done. It ultimately comes down to gratitude. That is the heart of how you treat people. It's from the gratitude you have. Now, gratitude is a funny thing. It's like the wind. If you were to ask, what does the wind taste like? What would you say? I don't know. If you were to ask, what does the wind feel like? What would you say? I don't know. What does the wind look like? I don't know. All you know is the effect of the wind. What does gratitude look like? I don't know. All I see are the effects of it. We see the effects of what love is and what gratitude is, but we don't actually see the actual feeling of love or gratitude. It is just something you see the effects of. And so one of the things we're going to do now is we're going to go through an exercise that our friend Deidre has put together, and she's going to make her way up to the stage and explain it to us. But this is a way for us to practice gratitude and to remember a few things that we are grateful for so that we can live that out after we leave this place. But right now, we're going to hear all about this great activity of reminding ourselves of what we should be thankful for. I'm done talking.
Okay.
Now.
Goodbye.